Have you ever wondered what God was up to? Like you're going, I don't know, God, I don't know what you're up to. Anyway, yeah, come on, right? I know it. You know, especially maybe you're seeing a ministry movement. Maybe you're seeing God doing something. Maybe you're seeing things happen, and then people are sidelined. People are sidelined. The worship team is feeling a little bit of that right now, you know, with some sidelined people. Maybe if you have a hidden talent, you can come talk to us. But have you ever been discouraged about your situation? Again, thinking that the circumstances that you're in have halted what was trying to be done for Jesus. You ever been there? I've been there, right? Imagine how Paul felt. So we're going to dive back into Acts a little bit. So we're going to glean from that. You remember Acts, right? And from chapter 13 of the book of Acts through chapter 28, it's kind of about Paul's journey. Didn't mean that the gospel wasn't being spread in other places and other people, but it was just kind of the spotlight on the things that were happening, mainly wrapped around Paul. And we see his first missionary journey and his second missionary journey. You might remember that sermon several weeks ago where he was in all of like a half a verse. And then he's out for his third missionary journey again. And people are getting saved, and churches are being planted. And I mean, it's just like this wild movement of God that we're seeing of how God is using this man, Paul, mightily in the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? I mean, it's awesome. Even, you know, we're studying Philippians right now, right, up on your screen. And he planted the church in Philippians, Acts chapter 16. And he went to Philippi because the Spirit wanted him to move and led him to go across. And he went to Philippi. He finds us. Well-diverse church, different kinds of people in there. I mean, God is moving. God is moving in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then chapter 21 happens. If you remember what happens in chapter 21, Paul goes to Jerusalem. And he's accused of a lot of things, and the Jews are literally trying to get rid of him. And I don't mean like, you know, ban him from Facebook, cancel culture. I mean, like, cancel culture, you know, like dead. Like 40 guys plus are taking a vow not to eat food until he's dead, that kind of stuff. They rush him off. And he's arrested for nothing that he has done. Nothing. And the rest of the book of Acts is about an imprisonment of Paul. First in Caesarea, and then his movement to Rome, and it ends with Paul being in jail for at least 2 years in Rome. So we know, because he was 2 years in Caesarea after a lot of stuff, 2 years in Rome, we know that he's in prison, locked up, shackled, and I don't mean shackled all the time, but I do mean confined for at least 4 years, which means more, because there's stuff that happens in between. Right? 4, 5, 6 years. And can you imagine? I could imagine Paul and others thinking, boy, what is God up to? I mean, things were going pretty good. I mean, churches are being planted, the movement of Christ, things are happening to the glory of God. And Paul finds himself in jail for years. For years, he is not able to move about freely. For years, he is able to go to no new city, to plant no new church, to go back to encourage any church that he's been to, except through letters, right? This letter to the Philippians was written while he was in jail, probably in Rome, during that time in the book of Acts that we talk about. And so, all right, so now back to Philippians. Right, we know that this church of Philippi is in concert with Paul. They have the same heart as Paul for reaching the gospel, for reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it's the answer. And I think because of where we go in this letter, the Philippians are worried that the gospel spread has been thwarted a little bit, has been shrunk back, has been shackled. If we can say that And I mean, think about it. Your main evangelist of the time is in jail. Right? Many would have thought after this long imprisonment for Paul that his preaching days were over, that spreading the gospel would be minimized. But Paul talks in the book of Philippians that there are two actual results that happened because of his imprisonment. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to open up to Philippians chapter 1. Again, I really hope that you have read this book over and over and over again. It's short, four chapters. I mean, we're going low and slow. We're spending some time, but great things are happening. And again, this is a great letter because there's no rebuke. There's challenges, but there's no rebuke. It's not like this church is off the rails in any way. It's just a church that has partnered with him, that loves him, that desires to see the gospel moving forward. And Paul, I believe, now addresses their worries about that, about what happens, even though Paul is in jail. And the first thing that we see is that Paul says that because of his situation, you know, because of Paul's situation is a cause for the advance, but actually gospel. Not a shackling of the gospel, not a thwarting of the gospel, but actually an advancement of the gospel in Paul's life and in others' lives. So let's look at Paul first. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. Says this, "Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel." Not the lesser progress. I mean, that's what it would think, right? Shackled up, in jail, not able to go out, not able to plant churches. But he says, listen. He says, my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. One in me, verse 13, he says, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. Like I said, so Paul's imprisonment is not a shackling of the gospel. It's a chance to share the gospel with a segment of the population that may not have otherwise had the opportunity. Because you are in that place, because Paul is in that place. I mean, he could have very easily been depressed. He could have very easily gone, you know, like, what good is it now? Like, how's God going to use me now? How is this going to really advance the gospel? How is this? But that's not Paul, right? He continues to preach the gospel at every opportunity. We saw this in the book of Acts. We saw this. We did 1 week on chapters 21 through 28. 1 week. You can go back and listen to it. Like 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, I forget now. 1 week we did it because it was all about his imprisonment. And the main point there was in those passages was that Paul just continues to preach the gospel no matter what. In other words, you know, if you're going to let me out and I'm going to go wander the earth, I'm going to preach the gospel. And if you're going to shackle me up, you're not, unless you cut out my tongue, I'm going to continue to preach the gospel. And then he also had opportunity to write encouragement and correction to churches within that time. And so Paul takes what he has instead of sulking and asking God why he's there. How many times do we do that? God, why are we here? Why? I didn't want to be here. I wanted to do this. I really thought that was going to work out really well. If we could do this, it really looked like it was going to happen. And then, boom, shut down. And too often what we do is instead of looking at it as an opportunity for the gospel, we look at it in a way that we're being shackled and we sulk. And often if we're honest, wind through tough circumstances. But listen, Paul knew who he was and he knew what his calling was. His calling, and let me tell you something. Somebody told me a long time ago, make plans in Christ. Make plans in Christ. I mean, don't sit back. Don't like, you know, just do nothing. Make plans in Christ, but make them in pencil. Make them in pencil. You know why? Because at the cross of Jesus Christ, you gave up the right to determine what you want to do. You gave up that right. And so, God, this is all about you. It's all about you. I had a professor in seminary, and I liked him. he was okay. And one day he got up in a chapel or something and gave a testimony, and I really liked him after that. But Dr. McDaniel was an Old Testament professor, taught Hebrew, taught some Greek. You know, I had him for some classes, taught Old Testament. I mean, he was a really great guy, and he was talking about how the fact is that he lived his life in Christian community. That's what he did. I mean, he was a professor at a seminary, you know, taught Bible all day long, studied Hebrew, studied Greek, studied the scriptures. He was an elder in his church. When he wasn't at the school, he was at his church, you know, doing stuff and ministering in Christ and ministering to Christians, all kinds of things. And he became convicted. And he said, God, I want you to provide. Would you please provide me some opportunities to reach non-Christians? And he was up giving testimony. And by the way, he was up giving testimony with a cane because his knees were like that big, because he had rheumatoid arthritis. And he said, you know, at first, I'm trying to remember all of it, but he could have been depressed about that. God, look at me. I'm shackled. I'm able to do less than I'm able to do. But he said, you know what? This was not God putting me to the sideline more. This was God putting me in the game. He said, and I remember this very specifically, he said, 3 days a week, I get to sit in a hot tub with people who are also suffering from rheumatoid arthritis. And because I am going through what they are going through, I have a right to speak into their lives. For him, it was God's answer to prayer of being able to connect with non-Christians in a way that they would be able to connect. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not praying for rheumatoid arthritis to be able to do that. Right? We don't want it that way. We want it the easy way. We want it the way where nothing gets shackled, where I feel good. As a matter of fact, I feel better, and everything explodes. And sometimes that's not the way God works. In Paul's life, that's the way God worked. I mean, so Paul's in prison, watched by guards. Can you imagine being a guard being watched by Paul? Man, you talk about, I don't think Paul thought he was in prison. I bet they thought they were in prison at times, because they couldn't get out, right? And he was going to preach the gospel. As a matter of fact, he says to the Philippians that it has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard. Everybody knows who I am and why I'm here. Now, that's not Paul wanting to be that, but he says, listen, they understand it's about Jesus. They understand that why I'm here is for the cause of Christ. Paul did not let his affliction stop him from being effective for Jesus Christ. He did not. Matter of fact, that's why he lived out what he wrote a little bit later on in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, he challenges the Ephesians he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. See, Satan sometimes thinks he gets the victory. See, if he can discourage you, if he can shut you, if he can shackle you, and too often what happens in the Christian world is we stop talking. Too often in the Christian world we get, woe is me, right? Too often the biggest party, not only just in the Christian church, just in our world today, is the pity party. You know, it's really easy to throw one of those. And listen, I mean, it's easy. I mean, bad things happen. Bad things happen. I mean, you might know I wasn't supposed to play guitar today. Jenna was supposed to play guitar today. And somebody asked how it happened, and Michelle said she caught a football. And I said, no, she didn't. Dislocated that finger. She's good. Tough. She'll have a pickup here soon, like this. But whatever, she's just going to drink. Right? I mean, we don't expect things to happen, do we? We don't expect bad things to happen. We certainly don't expect, I'm going to serve Jesus and it's going to sideline me. How could that happen? Well, God says, you know what? I'm going to use it if you will allow it, because we have to partner with God to say, God, I'll be used of you. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go, even if that means a hot tub with rheumatoid arthritis. Because no one's going to shut my mouth because I have a hope that delivers every time. I have a hope that does not fade. I have a hope that does not go away because Christ is mine and I am his. And that's where Paul was living. That's what Paul was doing. As a matter of fact, the next verse in Ephesians says this, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness, even in the heavenly places." Paul says, listen, there's battles that are here, and they're spiritual battles. And I think it was Tony Evans who once said, you know, I know they're played out in the flesh, but it's not about the flesh. It's not about the flesh. They're not your enemy. That person that there's a struggle, that's not your enemy. Right? Satan is our enemy. That's who's against us. That's who wants to shackle. But listen, Satan, once you're saved, once you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and give your life over to him, Satan can't have you, and he knows that. But he can make you quiet. Now, he can't make you quiet, right? But he can make you quiet. And even if he tries to kill you by making you quiet, that'll go far and wide. You know, In the late 80s, actually all throughout the 80s, in the tyrannical reign of the Romanian communist dictator Ceausescu, there was a pastor named Joseph Zahn, a Romanian pastor. I've heard his testimony. It's him speaking. Great. And he was persecuted greatly for the cause of Jesus Christ under Ceausescu. The secret police often arrested him and threw him into prison for preaching the gospels. For preaching the gospel, when the authorities would release him and command him to cease preaching, he simply returned to the pulpit and kept talking about Jesus, kept preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. One day, he was walking down the street in his hometown when two members of the secret police arrested him. One of them pulled a gun out of his pocket and stuck it in his chest. He glared at him and said, "If I wanted to, I could kill you right now." And I love Joseph Zahn because he had come to this place and his testimony was that he struggled through this, but he came to this place where he realized that he was God's instrument for whatever he wanted to do. And so Joseph Zahn quietly replied to him, "Killing me is your greatest weapon. Dying is my greatest weapon. If you kill me now, my sermons and the testimony of my life will sweep through Romania and more people than ever will come to faith in Jesus Christ. So if you choose to use your greatest weapon, I shall be forced to use mine." Right? That's the way God's glorified. That's a life lived out to say, you know what, it's not about me. It's not about whether I feel good at the moment. I mean, we did a child dedication last week, and I tell all our parents, right? You need to remember that you're not raising a child just to be happy. You're raising them to be holy, which means they're not going to be happy all the time. I promise you, they're not going to get what they like. They're not going to always get whatever they want. Why? Because it's not good for them in their relationship in the cause of Jesus Christ. So where are you? Are you allowing your circumstance to shackle your tongue and to not be used for what God wants it to be used for? All right. So Paul says, not only is it the situation a cause for the advancement of the gospel in me, he says that Paul's situation is a cause for others to preach the gospel, for the advancement of the gospel, and that others will be preaching the gospel. Look at what it says, back to Philippians, verse 14, chapter 1. He says, "And that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear." So not only, Paul says, not only did his imprisonment give him an opportunity to preach the gospel in places that he wouldn't have had, to people and maybe in audiences that he wouldn't have gotten, but he's able, he says, not only that, but it's encouraged others others to preach the gospel, to strengthen their faith. Why? Because I think Christians saw, if Paul is willing right to the end to go no matter what and to preach the gospel, well, if he can preach it in chains, I can preach it without chains, right? If he can preach it when he's getting beat for the gospel, when he's getting shipwrecked, you know, going to Rome, when all this kind of stuff has happened, if he can still speak, maybe I can speak. Matter of fact, I know I can speak. Right? If Paul's willing to preach when things aren't that rosy, I can go and preach the word of God no matter what too. And so he says, people are encouraged. Others gain confidence in the Lord so that they dared to preach the gospel even without fear. And I would tell you the mark of the early church of Jesus Christ is that they preached without fear. That didn't mean they didn't fear. Right? As a matter of fact, Paul challenges Timothy in the leadership even at the church of Ephesus. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, of timidity or of fear, but of power, love, and discipline. Right? Not even a spirit of timidity. And that comes after Paul saying, fulfill what God has started in you. The ministry that God has given you, Timothy, you go complete it. Well, but I don't know if I'm enough. I don't know if I have enough. I don't know if I can do enough. I don't know if that was his issue. I don't really know. But Paul says, you know what? He's not given us a spirit of timidity. That's not from God. God is in Christ is boldness. Right? It is that I have the Spirit of God and nobody can do anything to me ultimately because my hands are in the hands of my Savior. My feet, my hands, my body, my life is in the hands of a Savior. Now, it's interesting, and this is really where we see Paul's heart. Because he says he even understands that not everybody's preaching out of good intentions. Look at what he says. Verse 15, he says, some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking they may cause me distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in this I rejoice, yes, and I will rejoice. He says, you know what? There are people out there who are going, oh, Paul's not here now. I mean, and like I said, I mean, 4 to 6 years probably he was in that imprisonment time. You know, some of it movement, some of it some other stuff happening. You know, I don't really know how long. Tradition, history will tell us that he was probably released and was able to go around just for a few more years and then was killed for the gospel of Jesus Christ back in Rome. But he's shackled, like he's out of the picture. And some people are going, oh, maybe this is my opportunity. Maybe this is my opportunity. Maybe I can fill the gap. Maybe people, you know, oh, it's Paul this, Paul that, Paul this, Paul that. You know, I go to these churches he planted, and they're talking about Paul and Paul and Paul and Paul, you know, whatever. Right? Well, maybe now I can kind of do that. And Paul says, you know what? They are. And listen, that's not good. You need to have a face-to-face, a come-to-moment with Jesus. You know, a come-to-Jesus moment, sorry. Right? On those things. But Paul's heart is, I don't really care. As long as you're preaching the gospel, he does care about that. Read the book of Galatians. When they want to change the gospel, when they want to make it lighter, when they want to make it something different than what the gospel really is, Paul is like all over that, and he's like, how could you even do that? Right? So, but if they're preaching the gospel, even if it's out of the fact that there's something in them that wants to be seen, Paul says, I don't care, man, as long as the gospel is being preached. See, because Paul, it wasn't about being somebody or known someplace. Now, he is known, right? I mean, things were recorded about Paul. There are other people who did. I mean, Apollos is probably the greatest one that I can think of because it seems to indicate in Scripture that he was a powerful preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and yet we see him hardly at all. And my hope is, I'm going to assume here that Apollos didn't care. Because it's not about Apollos. It reminds me of John, when John's disciples come to John and they're like, John, man, people are starting to leave us and go to Jesus and go out to the wilderness and be with him and be baptized by him instead of you. Man, this is your ministry. You are the Baptist. I don't know if they called him John the Baptist at that point. We do. I know it, right? That's what he's famous for. Right? They're like, man, people are leaving you. And I love John. John's like, people. And this is Patrick's interpretation, right? Yeah, but people, it's not about me. Matter of fact, he says, may I decrease so that he may increase. There are some people, I forget the quote. I've looked for it all week. I can't find it. I don't remember who it's by. I just heard it a long time ago. And they said some people will use the cross of Christ not to die on it or to be under it, but to climb upon it so that they may be greater seen. I mean, we have this issue in our culture that somehow that if I'm not seen or noticed or, and when I say that, I mean accoladed, that maybe something's wrong or I need to seek that out and search that out and I've got to fight for accolades. Listen, Paul says in Romans 8:31, he said, if God is for us, who can be against us? I had a guy when I was pastoring up in Clinton Corners, and every once in a while he'd send people to do stuff. He did a lot. We had a big piece of property. He would do a lot, and every once in a while he would get frustrated. You know, he's like, "Man, where's everybody else? How come isn't everybody else serving?" And like, you know, I do this, and nobody thanks me, and you know, and I just listen, and because I knew his heart, and inevitably he'd call me back 5 minutes later. I mean, like literally, like 3 to 5 minutes, and he'd be like, "All right, I'm an idiot." Because this isn't about me. It's not about me getting noticed. It's not even about, you know, if I have the opportunity to do this, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And that really was his heart. It's just every once in a while you get caught in this thing, you know, right? See, I don't have to be in competition with other churches. I mean, I have some problem with other churches out there. I'll admit it. Mainly because of the gospel. And what's being preached or what's being lived or, you know, that kind of stuff. There's a lot of churches out there that aren't churches, as far as I'm concerned, that don't even preach the gospel, that don't even believe that the word of God is the word of God, right? But there's a lot of churches out there, even on Long Island, that do. Now, their style is very different. I probably wouldn't attend on a regular basis. But the question is, are they preaching the gospel? And that needs to be our question. Are they preaching the gospel? Taking themselves out of it, taking works out of it, taking anything out of it, Jesus Christ alone. And you know what? That means they can be different than me. That means they can do things that I'm like, I don't like it. Just preach the gospel. And that's what's Paul's heart. Paul's like, you know what? Even it's not good. I don't think Paul would say it's really great that they're preaching the gospel out of the wrong pretense. No, but at this point, he just says, I don't really care. All I care about is the gospel going out. And the reality is that if me being in prison allows other people to step up, even in wrong pretense, that's okay. Because go preach the gospel. As a matter of fact, some of the best things that can happen in churches is that leadership that do a lot actually then can't do a lot because then people have to stand up. You notice that when there's pastoral changes in churches. It's amazing how much people step up and do something. Well, guess what? Don't wait. Don't make me have to leave to step up, please. Right? I love Paul. And again, back to verse 18. What then? Only in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in this I will rejoice. People are encouraged to preach Christ. I'm going to be happy about that. People are going to, you know, I'm going to have an opportunity. I'm going to preach in my circumstances. I'm going to preach in my imprisonment. I'm going to preach to emperors and kings that I wouldn't have an audience with normally. I'm going to preach to the, not only just the big, I'm not just waiting to get to the big guy. I'm going to preach to everybody so that the whole Praetorian Guard knows exactly why I'm there. Right? Exactly why I'm there. That's what I'm going to do, no matter what. And by the way, me being in means that others get to do it. Means that others get to preach. That means that others get to share Jesus in where they are and what they're doing. Well, let me ask you a question. It's a simple message with a simple response, or a simple challenge, I should say. And that is this. Are you seeing the situation that God allows you to be in as opportunities? Or are you seeing them as shackling and things being wrong and what's going on and where is God in all this? Well, I promise you, God's still where he was yesterday. He's still on the throne. He's still on the throne. He's still there. I mean, that's just where he is, right? God is alive, and God is well, and God is working. And maybe he's sidelining you or doing whatever he's doing or allowing whatever's going on in that so that he might give you a greater opportunity that you wouldn't have. That he might give you something that you wouldn't have if everything was great or if everything was good. Oh, man, would we? If only we would have the Paul of the heart of Christ, of Paul. Sorry, I don't even know what I'm saying, right? Well, one, yes, the heart of Christ, but if we would have that heart that Paul had, that heart that said, I don't care where I am. No matter what goes on, Jesus, I'm gonna love you. I'm going to exalt you. I'm going to point others to you. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to exalt you, and I'm going to point others to you, no matter what, no matter where I am. And that's why I've said it often, right? Your answer to Jesus needs to be yes. And I know the immediate is, well, what's the question? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. See, because we don't get choices, and we don't get choices because we don't, see, we would work it out so that everything would be easier on us and that everything would just work out, but maybe that's not what's going to be best for the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe that's not what's going to be best for the advancement of holiness in your life and dependence on God in your life. So where are you, and how are you viewing Christ today? And how are you viewing the opportunities that he gives you, even if it's not one that you would choose for the glory of God? Let me pray. Father God, I love you. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for your heart and for your life and for your glory and for who you are. Father, I thank you that you have purchased us, that you have died, that we might know life. And Lord, nobody can take that away from us. Once in Christ, nothing can happen to us that would snatch us out of your hand. But Father, unfortunately, we have allowed Satan in the church of Jesus Christ, we have allowed Satan to shackle us. To make us so that we cannot produce for Christ because we're so concentrated on us and what I don't have or what I want to have that I can't see what I do have, which is Jesus. God, would you move mightily in the gospel of Christ for your glory, that the name of Jesus might be proclaimed in us and through us, to your glory. I praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.